Chapter 55. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Ventilation Tunnels. Bridget blinked as Folly opened her eyes, sat up and said gleefully, "Oh, we did it! We escaped!" Bridget looked blearily from the chaos in the remains of the Auroran camp to the wall of masonry that effectively trapped them in the side tunnel where she and Folly had been held prisoner. There was a small army of surface creatures preparing to devour them. The few men Captain Grimm had rallied to his side were wounded and tired, and they had no possible means of fleeing their foe. In what universe, she wondered dazedly, did their current predicament count as escape? Bridget shook herself from her thoughts and saw that the Etherealist's apprentice was staring blankly into space. "Folly?" Bridget asked. "Folly, are you all right?"
"Miss Folly," Benedict said, nodding down to the two girls.
He crouched down and peered at Folly, briefly putting a hand on her throat.
"She's breathing, and her heartbeat is strong. She doesn't seem to be injured. Perhaps she's taken a knock on the head."
"All things considered, I'm beginning to think that it would explain a great deal if we'd all taken a knock on the head," Bridget said. "What are we going to do?"
"Fight," Benedict said with a grim smile for her joke.
He drew a heavy knife from his belt, flipped it so that he held it by the blade, and offered its handle to Bridget.
"Here."
Bridget swallowed and took the knife. There was a reassuring heft to the blade in her hand, but she knew that if she needed to use the weapon, the silk weavers would be so close to her that it was unlikely to do her much good. More ominously, she saw that Benedict's hand and fingers were covered in his own blood, and that more of it had stained the knife's blade when he handed it to her. He was wounded, perhaps seriously. There were stains of an ugly colour around the slices and gashes in his left forearm. Venom, doubtless. Silkweaver venom could be deadly, even to a warrior born. Bridget's heart sank a little, and she felt sick with sudden worry. But she swallowed, rose to stand beside Benedict, and said, "Thank you, sir."
"I also saw this while we were coming here," Benedict said, and lifted his hand. He held Bridget's gauntlet. "I thought that so long as we were walking right past it, I might as well fetch it for you."
Bridget let out a huff of breath that was not quite a laugh.
"Most kind, sir," she said,
and began strapping the gauntlet to her arm. Her fingers did not fly with the speed and precision of a true expert, but they moved steadily and without hesitation.
"Sir Sorrelin?"
"Miss Targwyn," Benedict said.
"I suppose we are going to die here?"
Bridget asked.
"For goodness sake, I would ask that you be honest with me."
Benedict regarded her steadily for a moment. He said nothing. He didn't need to. She could see the answer in his eyes. Bridget continued strapping on her gauntlet, surprised at how calm she felt. It wasn't that the prospect of a violent death didn't frighten her. Indeed, she felt terrified. But simultaneously, she had chosen to be here. She stood in harm's way because she had elected to do so, to risk danger so that others could be protected.
Whatever else happened this day, she knew that she had already drawn a great deal of the attention of horrible creatures and the monsters that served them away from innocence and onto herself. She had served as a shield and sword to her fellow Albions. She didn't want to end her life that day, far from it. But all lives ended. If today was to be her last, she would have it be an ending with meaning. Surely dying in battle against such hideous foes spoke with absolute eloquence regarding her choices and her life. Outside the tunnel, the sound of skittering and chittering grew louder.
"Here they come,"
said one of the aeronauts, his voice tight with fear.
"Steady," said Captain Grimm.
From the excitement in his voice, he might have been talking about the weather. Bridget glanced aside at the captain. He stood with his bloodied sword in hand, his still hot gauntlet sending up wisps of smoke where copper cagework touched heavy leather bracer. His face was pale but calm, his eyes fixed on the entrance of the tunnel. Her gaze continued to Benedict Sorrelin, tall and straight, his breath coming a little harder than it had been a few moments before. That had to be the work of the poison. He too faced the darkness with a calm, pale face. He bounced his sword a few times in his hand, seemingly unaware that he moved the heavy steel weapon as if it had been no weightier than a cloth napkin. If the nature of her foes would speak to the credit of Bridget's death, then surely the nature of her allies would speak even more loudly and clearly of her life. She finished the last buckle on her gauntlet, primed it, gripped the heavy knife in her right hand, and turned to face the foe beside Benedict. Folly suddenly drew in a sharp breath, and her eyes went wide and round. She stared for a second at the tunnel's entrance and then lifted her hands, making small whimpering sounds, scrambling away from the entrance until her back was pressed against the makeshift masonry wall. Bridget stared at her for a second, and then remembered in a flash Folly's precognitive reaction just before the horde of infant silk weavers had come plunging out of the ceiling. She tracked the direction of Folly's gaze and whirled to shout to Grimm, "The ceiling, Captain! Fire!" Grimm stared at her for half a second, but Bridget did not wait to see what the man would do. She raised her gauntlet and sent a howling bolt of energy flashing up toward the ceiling of the tunnel at its entrance. Even as she did, the first of a horde of silk weavers poured forward, rushing along the ceiling. Bridget's blast missed, but Grimm's shot, coming half a second later, neatly speared the lead silk weaver on a shaft of blazing light and sent it tumbling to the floor. The silk weavers came on then, horrible and terrifyingly swift, flowing like a living carpet over the ceiling of the tunnel toward them. Their eyes gleamed, their tripartite jaws gaped, and they were emitting a chorus of hissing, whistling shrieks.
"Ceiling!" Grimm shouted, even as he loosed more blasts. "Fire! Fire! Fire!"
The aeronauts and Benedict followed suit, and for a moment the silk weavers were torn and blasted from the ceiling almost as quickly as they appeared. Bridget had no idea whether she hit anything, though it seemed fair to note that she could hardly have missed every blast. It was, she thought, more like pumping water at a fire than any kind of battle she had ever heard about. Unfortunately, their pumps had a very limited amount of pressure. The aeronauts' gauntlets began overheating one by one, searing leather and the flesh beneath. Grimm was the last of his men to stop shooting, and the copper cagework around his gauntlet was glowing red-hot in places before he was through, leaving Bridget to keep firing at targets alone, her own weapon fresher and holding less waste heat than the weapons that had been engaged in lengthy battle already.
"Blades!"
Grimm called, as the tide of silk weavers began surging forward now, confident and aggressive. Sheaths rattled and steel whispered as the aeronauts drew their weapons. The first silk weaver leapt down upon them, only to be met by a group of swords and stabbed repeatedly. But Bridget could see what would inevitably happen, and her eyes blurred with tears of frustration as she watched more silk weavers pour in. There weren't anywhere near as many of them as there had been only a short while before, perhaps only a dozen, but they outnumbered the Albions 2-1, and a man was a far more fragile creature than a silk weaver. They had come maddeningly close to victory, but now it was only a matter of time until death found them. The silk weavers began to spring down upon the besieged little band. And then Bridget heard the most beautiful music of her entire life. When a single cat let loose a war cry, it was an unsettling sound. When two cats suddenly wailed at each other in a similar fashion, it was downright unnerving. When hundreds of them caterwauled at the same time, in a single voice, The sound alone was enough to make one feel as if the skin had been peeled from one's muscle and bone, to call up horrors inherited from ancestors long since dead and forgotten, raw terror before a deadly predator. Not even the alien implacability of the silk weavers could ignore that call, and the surface creatures began to skitter and dart nervously back and forth. Raoul and the Nine Claws had come to wage war. Cats flashed into the tunnel in a howling wave, led by Raoul, son of Maul of the Silent Paws. At his side rushed Norn, chief of the Nine Claws, and a cadre of the tribe's largest warriors flanked them, every single one of them wearing a set of battle spurs. The tight mass of cats seemed to explode all at once in different directions. Those who had never seen a tribe of cats at war, or at least playing war games, would look upon what came next as utter chaos. Cats dashed this way and that, seemingly at random, scratching with their claws, leaping, biting, and accomplishing nothing. But Bridget knew better. The cats knew they were no match for the much larger and stronger silk weavers on an individual basis. Rather than sacrifice their warriors in desperate slashing piles of pure attrition, they played a different game, forcing the silk weavers to react to them, to keep them continuously spinning and turning and snapping at threats, only to have the cats they targeted sprint away before they could be pinned down. Cats darted this way and that, always passing a whisker's breadth out of reach of the silk weavers. The surface creatures, furious and agitated, could only snap uselessly at the air where a rushing cat had been, and try to keep track of every movement. And then, once fatigue had begun to slow the silk weavers, once confusion had reduced the fantastic speed of their reflexes, Raoul and Norn struck. Bridget watched as her friend suddenly sprinted directly at a silk weaver's open jaws. She began to shout a warning, but Raoul bounded left and right and then flung himself down flat on his back without ever slowing down. The cat slid beneath the silk weaver and promptly began raking with his battle spurs. Raoul let out another war howl, and his rear legs blurred as he raked and raked at the underbelly of the silk weaver above him. He rolled and sprinted out an instant before a rush of stinking purplish fluid and some kind of mucus burst from the silk weaver's abdomen. The silk weaver thrashed madly for a few seconds and then tottered onto its side, its many legs weaving uselessly and only slowly becoming still.
"Raoul!"
Bridget called delightedly.
"Little mouse,"
Raoul caroled merrily in reply.
"Do not kill any of my prey. I have a wager with Norn."
The cat bounded aside from the attack of a silk weaver Bridget would have sworn Raoul could not have seen, and rushed away, only to slide beneath another lethally harassed silk weaver on the opposite side of the tunnel. Once again he raked madly and darted clear before he could be drenched in the stinking guts of his foe. Captain Grimm surged forward with his sword held high, bellowing,
"Help the cats! Bait the silk weavers! Wear them out!"
Benedict darted forward to slash at a silk weaver who had managed to seize a cat's tail, menacing the creature and forcing it to release the cat, then kicked another silk weaver away from a wounded cat, leaping to place himself between the surface creature and the downed feline, his teeth bared in a wide grin. Bridget held back. Given her skill with a gauntlet, it would have been foolishness to start hurling bolts of energy into that kind of chaos. Given how short her knife was, employing it seemed to her an excellent way to be poisoned by the silk weavers, and besides, someone had to stand watch over Folly to make sure one of the spiteful things didn't rush her helpless form. The battle did not last long. Just as the silk weavers had outnumbered the Albions, leading to only one inevitable conclusion, the cats outnumbered the silk weavers to much the same effect. Norn, Raoul, and Norn's personal guard dispatched the creatures as each presented itself as a target, until only one silk weaver remained standing. And at that point,
Norn let out a vicious, furious howl, and 200 nine claws threw themselves upon the beast, ripping and tearing in a frenzy of wrath. The cat didn't kill the silk weaver so much as they spread it evenly over several dozen square yards of tunnel. Bridget almost felt sorry for the beast. Not quite, but almost.
"Bugger me!"
blurted a burly aeronaut. Bridget thought his name was Kettle, or Keppel, or something like that.
"Little furry bastards don't play around, do they?" "Mind your tongue, Kettle,"
Captain Grimm said. "All things considered, I think it very wise not to deliver any unintentional insults, hm?"
"Aye, Skip,"
Kettle said, eyeing the spreading stain that had been a silk weaver a few moments before.
"That does seem like good sense. No offence intended, kitties."
Raoul sauntered lazily up to Little Mouse, looking enormously pleased with himself.
"Five,"
he said smugly.
"Five full-grown silk weavers in as many minutes. Maul has never done that."
Bridget tried to speak and found that she couldn't. Instead, she dropped her knife, let out a little choking sound, and scooped Raoul up in her arms, hugging his furry warmth close to her.
"You saved us," she said.
"Of course I did," Raoul responded. "I am without flaw."
Bridget swallowed hard, and then she did begin to cry.
"I was so scared," she said. "I thought I was going to die a long way from home."
Raoul made a deep, pleased purring sound in his chest.
"How could that happen?"
he asked.
"When you have me to protect you."
She choked out a laugh.
"You are impossible."
"I am Cat,"
Raoul said smugly.
"It is not of your doing, Little Mouse.
It is natural that something so limited as a human finds me impossible.
And you are squishing my fur."
Bridget kissed the top of Raoul's furry head, hugged him once more, and set him down on the floor. Oddly, he did not seem at all concerned about his fur.
"I would speak to Grim Shiptrees."
Bridget blinked.
"You have given him a name."
Raoul shook his ears as if he hadn't heard her, and yawned.
"Will you speak Albion to him for me?"
"I will," Bridget said. "Benedict, stay with Folly."
"Of course," Benedict said. He nodded rather deeply to Raoul and said,
"Well fought."
"He knows,"
Bridget said, before Raoul could actually utter an answer. Raoul seemed to consider it for a moment, then turned with a flick of his tail that indicated the same disinterest as a human shrug.
"Yes," he said, "I do. Come, Little Mouse."
Bridget accompanied Raoul over to Captain Grimm.
"Master Raoul,"
Grimm greeted the cat gravely. He straightened, tucked his hat beneath one arm, and swept a very low bow to Raoul.
"You have preserved my life and the lives of my men. I'm in your debt."
"I know that,"
Raoul said, through Bridget.
"I have a mission to complete as a member of the Spyrarch's warriors. There are still Auroran warriors loose in the territory of the Nine Claws. The Nine Claws and I have saved your lives. Now you must help them defend their territory."
"Aye," Grimm said, nodding.
He glanced aside, and his eyes widened. Bridget looked up to see the rest of the crew of Predator emerging from one of the other shadowy tunnels. The broken forms of several silk weavers dotted the floor behind them, as did motionless human forms. Evidently, the larger group of men had been kept bottled up in their tunnel by a relatively small number of silk weavers. Now they emerged, gauntlets primed, swords in hand, staring warily at the cats.
"Hold your fire," Grimm shouted. "Stand down. It's over. The cats are with us."
The men obeyed their captain, and Grimm turned back to Bridget and Raoul.
Whatever the Aurorans put those marines here to do, they're off to do it. They must be stopped. Will the Nine Claws help?
Raoul's tail flicked left and right.
The Nine Claws do not care which humans rule the human portion of the Habel. Their war was with the Silkweavers. Fighting surface creatures is one thing. Fighting humans with gauntlets is another.
Grimm grunted.
What about intelligence? Can they tell us where the Aurorans are?
Instead of answering, Raoul sat down, and a heartbeat later a little bit of shadow detached itself from a wall and padded over to sit next to him. Raoul's 30-pound frame dwarfed that of the smaller female cat who sat down beside him, though she showed not an ounce less dignity.
"Hello, Myrl," Bridget said. "Captain Grimm, this is Myrl."
"I am pleased to know her name," Grimm said. "Thank you, Myrl, for your warning. Do you know where the Aurorans have gone?"
"Of course,"
Myrl said, with a sidelong glance at Raoul.
"While you spoiled children have been amusing yourselves killing prey that is not even good for food, I was doing the important work."
"What work is that, please?"
Grimm asked.
"Following the Aurorans, of course,"
Myrl said.
"Incidentally, I did so entirely without getting anyone who depended upon me captured by the enemy."
Raoul's eyes narrowed slightly.
"Out with it," he growled. "Where are they?"
Instead of answering, Myrl licked a paw fastidiously, for just long enough to make it clear that Raoul was not compelling her to do anything she did not wish to do. Bridget sighed. Cats. She held up a hand for silence when Captain Grimm began to ask a question. He frowned, but complied. After a moment, Myrl spoke.
"They are in the stone house, with walls and dirt and green-growing things."
Benedict stiffened.
"The temple? What are they doing there?"
"Killing,"
Myrl answered.
"Burning."
Bridget's gaze shot to Captain Grimm.
"Why would they do that?"
"Why, indeed," Grimm replied, his eyes narrowing. "We must help them, Captain," Benedict said fervently.
Grimm studied the young man for a moment before nodding.
"We'll do all we can. Creedy, I know everyone is exhausted, but we're moving out."